since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings as closely. And let us run with perseverance in the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the reading of the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated in his presence. I'm going to be speaking to you today from our sermon series. We'll be talking about for the next few weeks. Lose the weight. Lord have mercy, lose the weight. I'm not going to tell you to look at your neighbor and say, lose the weight. We don't want to do that. But lose the weight, lose the weight. I'll be speaking to you today from the subtitle, The Weight of Fear. The Weight of Fear. Lord have mercy, The Weight of Fear. You know, living in the past and not fully accepting the grace that has been freely given to us as Christians. We have been freely given grace. And if we don't receive that grace freely, it will create a heaviness in our lives and will not allow us to move forward and experience true peace. I'm talking true peace and true joy and true love and true forgiveness. If you do not accept the grace that has freely been given to you by God, not your grandmother, not your cousin, not your friend, but the grace of God that has been freely given to you and I, if you do not accept it, it will create a heaviness and a weight in your life. If we live looking back on our past mistakes and allowing those mistakes to shape our future, if we look back on our past mistakes, Kalisha, and we allow those mistakes to shape where we're going in our future, we will experience the weight and heaviness of a life that is mundane and a life that is unfulfilling and a life that is lacking abundance. The abundance that is promised by God. The abundance that is promised by Christ. Christ says in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I have come in your life. I have drawn you into faith, into church, so that you can have life. Not so you can wither away. Not so you can turn back to sin. Not so you can remain confused and have lack. Not so that you can be sick. I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Life to the full. A glorious life, a life where you will have persecution. Yes, you will have problems and affliction. But the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all so we can have an abundant life. Life. So if we are to move forward, we must lose the weight. Lord have mercy, if we're to move forward, we must lose weight. We must lose the weight. What weight, you ask? If we are to move forward, we must lose the weight of fear and the weight of unbelief and the weight of uncertainty and the weight of unforgiveness. If we're going to move forward, we must lose the weight of unbelief, uncertainty, unforgiveness, and Lord have mercy, the weight of fear. These are weights that keep us from walking in the freedom of Christ. A freedom through Christ that allows us to go higher and pursue our dreams. If it was not for God, if it was not for Christ, if it was not for the fact that I surrendered my life to God, I could not walk forward by faith. But fear would keep me hindered. Fear of my past and fear of mistakes I've made and fear who I used to be and fear of the things I used to do. If I did not have faith in God and understand who I was in Christ, fear would keep me hindered, and I would not be able to walk in the freedom of going higher and to pursue my dreams, and a freedom that transcends who our parents told us that we are, a freedom that transcends the way we were raised, a freedom that transcends being born in Brooklyn and raised in Newark, a freedom that transcends all the things that we've been through in our life of freedom in Christ, that only comes from Christ. It does not matter who you marry, you need Christ. It does not matter what school you went to, you need Christ. It doesn't matter what job you have, you need Christ. Freedom, true freedom, only comes from a relationship with God through Christ. Christ. A freedom that allows us to transcend our past. And if we are going to move higher, we must lose the weight of unbelief. We must lose the weight of uncertainty. We must lose the weight of unforgiveness. But the one I want to deal with today, Lord have mercy, is the weight of fear. I guess Zachary does not have the weight of fear on his life. He's walking around and talking while I'm preaching. So he doesn't have the weight of fear on his life. And that's what I want to deal with today, the weight of fear. You know, fear is a spirit. It's a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear." Let me break it down to you. Whenever you're afraid to go higher or afraid to go forward or afraid to do something different, it is a spirit of fear that did not come from God, but it came from the evil one. Whenever you are afraid to go forward or afraid to do something or afraid when fear is gripping your life, that is not of God. Do you hear me today? That is not of God. That fear is not of God. That fear is not of God. That fear is not of God. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but God gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. You know, fear, the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Whenever we are about to do something new, like pursue our dream or a goal, the false evidence that appears and seems real is the evidence that we're not going to make it, that we're going to fail, that we're not going to be able to complete our task. That's false evidence appearing real. You know, whenever you're thinking about returning back to school or doing something in school or academic, you may want a graduate degree, you may want your GED, you may want your bachelor's, you may want a doc, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, the false evidence that will appear as soon as you think about going back to school is that you're not smart enough. That's false evidence appearing real. It's not real, it's fear. You know, when we want to go forward in ministry, you know, the evil one will use fear to keep us from going forward. Yeah. The fear that people will find out what you used to do, and the fear of your past, and the fear of shame and guilt, and you can't go forward with power if you have fear. You know, one fear that most preachers have is that when they go forward and they get exalted and God puts them out there to minister, that somebody's going to come up and say, you going to that church? Do you know what he used to do? Do you know what she used to do? False evidence appearing real. Well, Pastor, she did used to do that. And he did used to do that. Whenever fear rises up, false evidence appearing real, that's when you must use the word of God. The word of God trumps false evidence appearing real. The word of God overcomes fear. The word of God conquers fear. Well, that is what he or she used to do. Amen. And even if it's true, the Bible says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. We overcome by the power of the blood. The word. The word allows us to conquer fear. Fear, false evidence, begin seeing real. Whenever we begin to look and analyze all the things that could go wrong, all the false evidence, and we're afraid of making a mistake, then we remain in park. We remain standing still. Or worse, we go back. You know, someone told me yesterday, I was talking to another pastor friend of mine, and he said, you know, so-and-so has backslid, and when a person has backslid, we always think of they're just sinning. They're just living in sin. But when you're a Christian, backsliding is simply not going forward. You know, either you're going forward or you're going backwards. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. Let me give you an example. I backslid this summer. Lord have mercy, I sure did. I started watching television. I watched the reality show. I couldn't believe it. I sat there and watched the reality show. Backslid. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. And when you start to do things that you had overcome and that you have, God has brought you past and beyond, and doing things, I prayed all the time. I read the Bible. I didn't sit and watch television. I went outside and walked around. But Lord, have mercy, I watched somebody named Nene. I watched the life of Nene. And I backslid. For me. You do what you have to do. I'm saying I backslid. So you know that you're backsliding when you're going backwards. And whenever you are fearful, you're not going forward, so you must be going backwards. Whenever you're fearful, you're not moving ahead, so you must be going back. Whenever you're afraid to do something different and you're not going forward, you are going backwards. And before long, you'll be watching Nene. And before long, you'll be in the club. And before long, you'll be in the bar. And before long, you'll be in the poker game. And before long, you'll be doing something that you have overcome in your life. Before long, you'll be back with him and back with her and hanging out with them and having them over your house again. And you got out of that life by the grace of God, but now you're going back. Amen. Lights, amen. Board, amen. Keyboard, hey, somebody give me an amen. Hallelujah. And we conquer fear by faith. We overcome by faith. Faith in whom? God through Christ. 1 John, who is it who overcomes the world? He who believes in the Son, Jesus Christ. The only way that we overcome fear, Paul, is by faith. By faith. You know, I'm going to get to it and we're getting out of here. That's what the writer in the book of Hebrews, this beautiful book of Hebrews, I love the book of Hebrews. That's what he's writing about in chapter 12. He's writing to a community of Jews. Hebrews. He's writing to them. And we don't know specifically who the author is of Hebrews. Some say it was Paul, or some say it was Barnabas, some say it was John, some say it was Luke. But we really don't know who authored the book of Hebrews. But we do know this. We do know that the Holy Spirit authored the book of Hebrews, and it is Holy Ghost inspired. Amen? Amen. All scripture is Holy Ghost inspired. Let me give you a little word for that. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. This is 2 Peter, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture, that no scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that a person just didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write the Bible. It was Holy Ghost inspired. You do believe in the Holy Spirit. You do believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of the Bible. And the Bible goes on to say, for prophecy never came by the will of man. That's why you just can't sit down and say, Lord is speaking to me. I'm just going to write a Bible. I'm going to write the new Bible. This is going to be the new Bible. Amen. It is Holy Ghost inspired. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, through this epistle of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, through this epistle, was speaking to three specific groups. Are you with me? He was speaking to one, believers. He was speaking to believers. He was speaking to Jews who had converted to Christianity. And then he was speaking to unbelievers, those who were like, I don't care about any of this. I don't believe it. And then he was speaking to unbelievers who were attracted to Christ. They liked Christ. They say he's a good man. He's an all right dude. He was a prophet. I like Christ. I even can get with the whole salvation thing. Okay, I'm saved right now, but I ain't coming to nobody's church. I ain't singing to nobody's choir. I definitely ain't paying my tithes. And I'm saved. And with Christ, he's all right. He's a hippie. He can wear jeans and he has a long beard and he's cool. But I really don't believe all of that. And this particular book of Hebrews was speaking to all three of them. Believers, the unbelievers, and the unbelievers who believe in Christ. Lord have mercy. Do you know that you can be an unbeliever and still believe in Christ? That's a Bible study. We'll talk about that later. But you can be an unbeliever but still believe in Christ. You just don't believe that he's God. You just don't believe that he's the Son of God. You just don't believe that he's all powerful. You just don't believe that he's a healer. You believe that he walked on the earth. You believe that he's a prophet, but you don't believe that he's Christ, the Christ. Amen? So that makes you an unbeliever. And the Holy Spirit through this believer were talking to those. But today I want to look at the believers that he was speaking to. The believers, like you and I. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we come to church and we worship and we want to know him. And he was writing this particular chapter, chapter 12, to these believers who were converted to Christ. They were new Jews, new converts. They were new converts. And they were very immature. They were very immature in their Christian experience. And they began to hold back because of fear. They begin to hold back because of fear. They were new Christians, just like It Is Well Living Church. You know, we have a lot of new Christians. We also have those who have been in the church for a while, but they were in the choir and not reading the word. They were serving, but not taking in and going to Bible study. They were hearing preaching, but they were not being taught. Lord have mercy, they was worshiping with the band. Lord have mercy, the band was slamming, but there was no word going forth. And their lives were not changing, and they were not growing, and they were not going higher in the Word. I'm not talking about those stuck-up churches where they think that their ties are buttoned up and they're looking all sharp, but there's nothing inside of them of power from the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about believers who believe and who are transformed and transcend their problems and the things and the way they were raised. I'm talking about those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and through Christ, I'm a new creation. I know you know about my past, but I'm a new creation. I know you know what I did last year, but I'm a new creation. I know that you don't understand how God has worked in my life, but I am a new creation. I'm talking about those type of believers. But they were immature. They didn't want to go higher. They wanted to do just enough. They didn't want to serve. They didn't want to range the chairs. They didn't want to come early to church, leave a little later than they needed to. They were immature. They were so immature that they became afraid. Lord have mercy. They were fearful of everything. Fearful. You know, when I grew up in Newark, I was I was afraid sometimes, you know? You go to school, listen, you know, bullying is illegal. I wish it was illegal then, when I grew up in Newark. And you would I would go to school and you'll sit in class and somebody would say, you would see somebody at the door when you're sitting in class, Paul, and they'll come up to the glass and you'll see like four guys and they'll tap on the window and say, yeah, that's him. That's him right there. And you'll say, oh my Lord, oh my God. And I would get fearful because they were coming to get me. But it wasn't until, you know, I grew out of that. I took my lumps and I fought and then I wasn't afraid of anything. And that's bad too. That's bad too. So I had to find a balance. But when you're a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid. When people are pointing at you and saying, there she is and there he is, you should not fear. There they are. Look at them going to church. Look at them with that Bible. Look at them reading that word. Look at them dressing like that. Look at them not drinking. Look at them not smoking. Look at them living holy. Look at them. Look at their life. You should not fear and draw back. Amen. But you should continue going forward. And these particular Christians, they had a fear of persecution and a fear of rejection and a fear of leaving their old traditions. I wish I could tell you how many Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics, they called me on the down low and say, Pastor, now, you know, we want to come. And we're there. We support you. But I just...
The Presbyterian Church, I'm a minister there.
Afraid of leaving, fearful of leaving tradition, and God is calling you to do something different in your life, and you're fearful.
Jesus, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Fear of leaving their traditions, and fear of standing alone in their beliefs. Fear of standing alone in their beliefs. This is who this author was writing to, these new Christians. They wanted to go higher. They wanted to love God. Fear the pastor. They had a fear of the pastor. The new converts had a fear of the pastor. Every time the pastor came in with a new tie, Lord, look at his tie. I am not giving this way. He got a new tie. Look at the kid. The kid's got a haircut. Lord, have mercy. The children have a haircut. I won't be giving my $5 this week. Fear. 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 Just fear holding you back. And just like many of us, we are fearful of persecution. We're fearful of what they're going to say about us because we come to church and because we're Christians and because we're trying to live holy and do the right thing in the eyes of God, not the eyes of man, but the eyes of God. We're fearful of rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. Lord, have mercy. Nobody likes to be rejected. You want to test your Christianity? I dare you to stand up. I've done it. Amongst our Muslim brothers, whom I love, and profess and confess your faith. Now, don't do it unless you're ready now. Don't do it unless you're ready. You don't have to say it in anger. I'm a Christian. No. Just confess what you believe. Confess what you believe. We don't confess it because we're afraid of rejection. Rejecting. People rejecting us. People rejecting us. We're afraid of rejection and leaving our old ways. We're fearful of finding ourselves alone. But I have a remedy for you today. I have a remedy for you today. The remedy to losing the weight of fear is faith. 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 The first one, lay aside the weight of fear and pick up faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What he was talking about in this particular scripture. Are you there with me? Are you reading that? What this writer was talking about is because we are surrounded by so many of those in the Christian faith who have lived their faith and have gone on. We're surrounded by them. They have died and gone on. And we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. You don't believe me. Turn with me to the Bible. Turn to chapter 11. Verse 4. Let's start at verse 1 and we're leaving. We're leaving in a few. We won't be here any longer than I'm here. Amen. Amen. Chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Now this is the part I want you to hear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. By faith, the Bible is referring to what Abel did. So we are surrounded by that cloud of witness in Abel. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? And then if you look at verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death. We're hearing what happened to Enoch. He's a cloud of witness. He's a witness to what God is doing, what God did in his life. And we know that without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, you've all heard of Noah and the ark. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. He did it by faith. The way to overcome fear is to look and see what those who have done in your life, who have lived this life of faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. We look at our grandmothers. Lord have mercy. I look at my grandmothers. I look at their faith. My father's mother, my grandmother who has gone on to heaven now. I can still see her faith as she kept the television set on to those televangelists, and she was cooking, and she kept her faith. She made sure that her home had an atmosphere of God within that. That I learned from that. I do that now by faith. I plead the blood of Jesus by faith that God is my protector and my provider because of my grandma Julia, because she prays and she casts out devils and she calls things that are not as though they are, and she says that we're going to be something in life and that God's hand is upon us. But she's speaking faith, and I've seen that faith work in her life as she's raised 7 children in the South in a place where she could not drink out of the same water fountain that others. I've seen her by faith go to church every Sunday. I've seen her by faith read the Word of God by faith. We look at these witnesses in our lives, and we do what they do by faith. We lay aside every weight of fear, and we pick up faith. Mark 5:36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, you don't have to turn there, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. It doesn't matter what happens. Have faith and believe, because when you have faith and you move by faith and you go forward by faith, it has to work out for your good. Amen. You do know we just left the building over in Jamesburg, and we stepped out by faith to go there. And by faith, everything worked out. It did not work out the way we thought it would work out, but it worked out the way God intended for it to work out. By faith, when you step out by faith and you do things by faith, there is always a good result. There's always something that God is working in you and out of you. By faith we live. By faith we grow. By faith we do these things in life. Faith. Faith. There's no right or wrong. Don't be attached to outcome, but step out by faith. Let God handle all of the details. Move by faith and not by sight. Amen. That's faith. That's faith. The next way to lose the weight of fear is to lay aside the weight of sin that ensnares us. Yeah. Lay aside the sin that ensnares, whatever sin that is that ensnares you, you need to lay it aside. You need to lay that aside. Whatever that sin is that ensnares you, you need to lay it aside. You need to put it aside. Whatever that sin is that trips you up, that keeps you going backwards, you need to lay it aside. It's not for me. It's not for the church, but it's for you. Amen. Lay it aside. Whatever that is that continues to wreak havoc in your life, lay it aside. You know what it is. Lay it aside. Amen. You know what it is. Put it down. You know what it is. Step over it. You know what it is. Get rid of it in your life. Unbelief is sin. I have some notes here I wanted to read from Charles Spurgeon, but we don't have time. Unbelief is sin. It's in the Bible. Unbelief is sin. Trust me. Unbelief is sin. When you don't believe the promises of God, that's sin. When you don't believe that you're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and you continue to be involved in the life that God has called you out of, that is unbelief. You're not believing God, and that is sin. Unbelief is sin. Lay aside the weight of sin that ensnares us. And then the third thing, we're about to leave. Lord have mercy. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. You know, they said don't talk about sin in church because people won't come. People want to hear feel-good messages, and they want to hear music, and they want to shake in church and do all of that. That's not, you do what you do. That's okay. I'm not knocking anybody. I don't judge people. But it is sin that continues to trip us up. Unbelief. Let's forget all the other sins that whatever. Let's just deal with unbelief. Let's just deal with that today. Because we all deal with unbelief as sin. We all deal with that as sin. We all deal with that. And unbelief is what keeps us from going forward in life. We don't believe that we can have, you know, there are ladies out here that don't believe that they can have a good man. They don't believe it. I mean, it's 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion people! And you trying to tell me God can't have one man for you? A good man? A good man. A good man. Unbelief. There's people who won't support this church because they're waiting to see how it goes. That's unbelief!
Yes.
It's unbelief.
Yes.
Unbelief. Sin. Either you're in or you're out. You know, I talked to the guy yesterday at the forum. He said, get rid of people in your church. Ask them to leave. He said, only take the people who support you and want to be there.
Amen.
Don't suck up the people. Don't be kissing up, begging people. Just say, you go to Mount Moriah or wherever. I love you. I love you. But I don't have time for that. It's unbelief. Unbelief! Unbelief. Causes fear. It causes fear. I mean, when we don't believe, we fear. And fear is like a disease. It infects us.
Yes, yes.
I don't even allow fear in my house. It's a disease. Then if we're going to lose the weight of fear, we need to run this race of faith. I mean, you need to run.
Amen.
I mean, you need to run. You need to get off the fence and stop wavering, going south. You need to run.
Amen.
You need to run.
Amen.
You need to run. You need to, I remember when I used to go to the club many, 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 many years ago. I would get the phone call and say, we're going to the club tonight, Khalil. I would run and get my clothes on. I would run. I mean, I would run. I run. That's the way we need to run.
Yes.
To God.
Amen.
To run this race of faith. Stop looking back. I was looking at the Olympics and Usain Bolt, he was running.
Amen.
Running! And although he would look from side to side to make sure everything was all right, he didn't run looking back. You gotta run this race and look forward, Karen.
Yes, yes.
God is calling you forward.
Yes, yes.
You gotta run this race and look forward.
Yes, yes.
I love seeing people I used to associate with. And I can't remember them. I done ran this race so far, I can't even remember names of people I used to hang with. People say, you know so-and-so? Their cousin died. I'm like, who? So the person you used to eat lunch with in the cafeteria every day? I don't know who. I can't remember their name. I remember their face. I can't remember their name. Because I'm running this race. I ain't looking back. I'm running. And all of us have that ability to run. You know, when you are trying to lose weight in the natural, I always tell everyone, you want to lose weight? Run. Run, run, run. Get out there and run. You may can only run a couple of blocks or a couple, but I want you to run. And because of issues, many can't run. Their knees are hurting, their back is hurting, Billy, their shoulders hurting. They don't have the endurance to run. And that's the same thing with our faith. Because of issues, we can't run this race of faith. You know, we got an ex-boyfriend that we're trying to get rid of, and our wife is half crazy holding us back. Finances all messed up. Lack of education. Shame and guilt. Guilty. Did too much in the past. We think we can't run. So we just stop. Or worse, we just show up to church and don't do anything. Don't grow, don't go higher, don't move further. I know your knees may be hurting, you can't run in the natural. Yes. But it doesn't matter what issue you have, you can run in the spiritual. Yes. You can run in the spiritual. There's nothing hindering you but you.
Yes.
There's nothing hindering you but you.
Yes.
There's nothing holding you back but you.
Yes.
Whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes.
Whom God has called out of darkness into the marvelous light is free indeed. If God has called you and told you to come higher and told you to go further, there's nothing that should be hindering you. All you have to do is lose the weight and lose the weight of fear and lose the weight of sin and lose the weight of shame. All you have to do is lose that weight. Lose the weight. Lose the weight. Lose the weight of that bad relationship. Lose the weight of that friend that's holding you back. Lose the weight of the sin that ensnared. Lose the weight of your crazy mind. Lose the weight of your familiarity. Lose the weight. Lose the weight. Lose the weight. Stand with me today in this place. Lose the weight. Lose the weight. Lose the weight of your insecurities. Your insecurities. Your insecurity is not of God. Your insecurity is not of God. Your insecurity is not of God. Your jealousy is not of God. Your envy is not of God. God is calling you higher. Time to lose some weight. Time to lose some weight. If we were in my fitness studio, I would tell you to grab some weights and start lifting them down. But since we're in the church, I'm going to ask you to pick up the Bible. Open the pages. Yeah. This is a spiritual exercise. Yeah. You want to lose the weight of fear? Open the Bible. Open the Bible. Open. Oh, my grandmother said, read your Bible, son.
Yeah.
Open the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let us read this together. Let me just read while you follow along. I'll read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. That's the key. Looking to Jesus. Don't look to the pastor. Look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. I know that you can't do it in your own strength, but look to Jesus. I know you don't feel like you're going to lose this weight, but look to Jesus. I know you don't feel like you can escape sin, but look to Jesus. I know you're afraid of commitment, but look to Jesus. I know you don't think that you can go higher than you ever gone, but look to Jesus. I know you think that you may not make it, but look to Jesus. I know that you've been jilted, and I know that people have hurt you, and I know that people have used you, but look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to Jesus, who is the author, the author, the author. You know what that means? That means that he wrote everything about you, that he began the story of your Christian walk. He's the author of you. And you're not sitting in church because of you. God is drawing you in. And he's writing a book. He's the author of your faith. He's the. It's not your grandmother and your mother, and because you grew up in church. He's the author of your faith. The author. And he's also the finisher. Lord have mercy. He's the finisher. You know what that means? That he's going to get from you what he's going to get from you. You can be in Texas, he's going to get from you what he needs to get from you. You can be in California, he's going to get from you what he needs to get from you. beginning. He's going to finish this thing. He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. Just wait. I just want to pray with you, and then we're about to leave. I want those that need to lose some weight, the weight of fear. Fear is infecting this church. Fear is infecting this church, I'm telling you. But I want to cancel it out right now.